This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net for April 8th.
Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. Good evening. Welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I'll be your net control station this evening. Membership of the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary nor required for participation. Radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is the 146.97 Waterford repeater, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time, with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators, as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide, number one, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Secondly, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. Open net, which means that we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. The tips net actually has three sections. The first, as we just described, is the open net with rounds of questions and comments. The second section is the section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And finally, the third section is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items to bring them forth. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," then release the mic button like this. Listen to make sure no one else is called by at the same time you have, and then go ahead and press the mic button again and slowly give your call sign phonetically along with your name and your location and if you have a question or a comment. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm in Groton and I'm your net control station for this evening and we'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Good evening, here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf. My name is Kevin, located in Norwich, Connecticut. And I do have one eensy teeny weeny little question.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston. No sense having a question because I'm sure Kevin's eensy teensy one is going to take about 2.5 hours.
Here is Kilo Zero, Juliet Echo Bravo, Josh in Groton. And I'll be in and out before Kevin asks his question. Thanks.
Here is Kilo 1, Romeo, Mike November, Bob in Montville. No questions at this point. Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot, Juliet, Whiskey, Chuck in Groton. No questions yet.
Recognizes Kevin K6. line. If you want to make a comment, call in again when we do the rounds. Bob K1RNN and Chuck W1FJW. Further check in, please call now. Okay, well, the top of the list is Kevin, who has a question. Small though it may be, no question is unimportant on this net. Go ahead, Kevin, with your question.
You mean aside from, why is everybody always picking on me? No, if it takes this net 2.5 hours to answer this one, or make a determination that nobody knows, we've got bigger problems. Something came up in a conversation, good evening to everybody, by the way, in a conversation with a fellow ham, and I'm just wondering, does anybody know, when did the FCC begin the Universal Licensing System, the ULS, if you happen to know the year that that began? And I believe that is when they stopped indicating licensees' ages. Those of us who are as old as Dave, you can still look them up and find out how old they are. But for most hams, I want to say it was in the 90s, but I'm not sure. So when did the FCC begin the ULS, KA6PDG, back to net?
That's a very good question, and I, for one, will plead total ignorance and no, I don't know. That may take a little bit of digging. I don't know if it's on anybody's immediate, pub quiz type category, but it would be a good one. So let's move on to Dave and see if he has any thoughts on when the ULS was first used by the FCC, and get his 2 cents worth on this. K1DCT, this is PC1TWR in the tip net.
Well, I really can't say for sure. And, you know, you want my 2 cents worth, but it's only a penny for my thoughts. So where's the other penny go? There's a question for the net. But I'm sitting here in front of the magic box looking at the interweb. And, I quickly come up with something that says that, existing licenses that were registered were moved to that database, it's like 2001, so that may not be the whole article, but I haven't got through it all yet, so that's my answer for as little as that is worth, which obviously is a penny. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, well, seeing as I got my license in, golly gee, what was it today? I've got to look at my calendar. Today is April 8th. Oh, I missed it by a week. Last Thursday was my 6th anniversary of getting my amateur radio license back in 2014. And so anything that happened before then in the amateur radio world, I'm going to plead ignorance to. And I'm going to leave it up to the old timers like Dave to weasel that out of their memory or out of their resources. And actually, I will give a quick second for Josh if he has any quick comments he wants to make. And if not, then we'll move on. But K0JKB, any quick comments?
This is K0JB. No comments. Just enjoying the conversation. I'm working tonight, so everybody have a good one. 73K0JB.
Okay, very good, Josh. Have fun working, and at least the weather's good for you. Good. Okay, we're going to move on down to Bob, who also hasn't had his license that long, but has family relations that were definitely involved with radio for quite a while. Maybe he's got a clue, or maybe he's got something else he's thought of to talk about. K1RMN, KC1PWR, and the tips man.
are. This is K1RMN. Well, I was able to research, and the ULS system was brought on board in 1998, in and around September was the date that I was able to find. So hopefully that answers Kevin's burning question. And don't have much else. Pretty busy work day today, but I'm building some Raspberry Pi images tonight. Back and forth between that and making sure I don't make mistakes, which happens more often than not. But that's about all I have for this round. K1RMN, back to Nat.
Okay, thank you very much, Bob. And yeah, you had more time to do a quick search on it before Dave threw him right under the bus real quick. Okay, we're going to move on to Chuck, WNFJW, and see if he's got anything to bring up. I do have some small thing to bring up at the top once we come around again, but it's not even as major as Kevin's question. So anyhow, we're going to go on to Chuck and see if he has anything he wants to chat about this evening, whether an answer to Kevin's question or any particular project that he's working on. W1FJW, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
Well, I'm not questioning Bob's answer for one moment. I'm sure it's correct, but I'm also in the back of my mind thinking that when I got my license in early 01, that they still had birthdays. Could it be that the universal licensing system showed birthdays for a while and they got removed after it was started? Or maybe my memory is just wrong as usual. Back to Net, W1FJW.
Well, that is an interesting question. I guess we'll have to wait till we come around again and see if anybody has an answer on that. And things will change, as we have seen them change. It used to be the fashion that when you moved from one area to another, you'd have to get a new call sign and things of that nature. But a lot of that's been relaxed now. And, you know, people with tech licenses get general class call signs. And people like Kevin, who have KA6PDG, are living in the one region. And if I remember right, I think at one point everybody on the east side of the country started with a W. Everybody on the west side started with a K. But due to various things that happen, that all changes. But we're going to talk about that more. TIPSnet, which is what this is, and it's open to all radio operators that would like to join, bring in their 2 cents worth, or penny for their thoughts, as Dave pointed out. And at this point, we'll ask for another round of check-ins. Anybody else care to check in? Please call now. Okay, we're going to go back to the top of the list. And before we get to Kevin, one of the points I wanted to talk about this evening, if we had a lull in the conversation, which I think we've sort of reached, is QSL cards. And how many people still use them? How many people would like to continue to get a QSL card now and then? And are people still designing and getting them printed, or are they printing them on their own printer because they only need a handful a year? That's another thought. So anyhow, that's another topic we can toss out on the table, see if anybody finds it of interest. But let's move on to Kevin and see if Bob's answer satisfies his curiosity. K6PDG, KC1TWR.
Yes, that was helpful. Thanks, Bob. Like I said, it was just a little thing that came up in conversation, and so I appreciate you looking that up. I didn't know whether it would be on the internet or not. then Wikipedia knows everything. Of course, I thought Dave wrote the internet, so I'm a little surprised he didn't know. As far as Chuck's pondering or question, he may be right. I made a supposition, or in this conversation, him I was talking to, we thought that they dropped the birthdays with the advent of the ULS, but it may have, in fact, been a few years later, and there was perhaps some ruling that the FCC shouldn't be putting that information on people's record. I don't know, so I'm going to assume that Chuck's probably right. Great question on the QSLing. I've never been a big QSLer. I think when I was a fairly new ham, I thought, oh yeah, I'm getting some cards, let me put them on the wall. But probably because the visual inspiration of it all doesn't mean that much to me, I just kind of lost interest or didn't discipline myself to continue collecting and categorizing QSL cards. So I've never been big on it. That being said, I got a QSL card, in fact, not long ago, a couple of weeks ago. And I just thought it was really nice of the ham to take the time to send me one of his cards with a signal report and write a little note. I think that's a very courteous thing for hams to do. And then you get into the whole, the online QSLing and... no, I guess I'm thinking a logbook of the world. I don't know what I'm thinking about. Where you confirm your QSL online, and you have some folks, and particularly on de-expeditions, in some of these distant corners of the world where they don't use some of the online services that are available for QSLing or confirming a QSL, and they pretty much have to do it by paper. And I sometimes hear... some of the folks that are going for awards or involved in contesting complain about that because they want to get their confirmation quickly so that they can certify or document their request for an award. But it is an interesting question there. Tim K. 6PDG back tonight.
Thank you, Kevin. And I came along when QSL cards were really, LOTW was already out, all the rest of it, and apparently there's not only LOTW, but also various other eQSL software and other places, so it's not, used to be just cards. Now it's LOTW, eQSL, and a few other places where you can do it electronically, and that's, I'm wondering if all of that's kind of losing some of the sparkle it used to have. I'm also surprised that none of the old QSL cards were scratch and sniff or came with, maybe the shape of the state they were in, which Connecticut would work itself very nicely. But anyhow, let's move on to Dave, and I'm curious in his thoughts about QSL cards and if he has any thoughts about the whole birthday question for the... ULS and so forth. So, Dave, what do you think? This is KC1TWR and the TEPS net.
All right, well, very good. A lot to think about here. That's obvious. Let's see, where to start? I think Chuck might be on to something, because there was something... I don't think it was instantaneous, as far as birthdays going away, and if you go to QRZ, you can still have your birthday displayed if you wanted to, or you can not have it displayed. It's totally up to you if you're a member of QRZ. Which leads into the whole QSLing. Mixed emotions, and for those that don't want a good sense of what mixed emotions are, that's when your mother-in-law is driving your new car off a cliff. So that gives you a good sense of what that means. So, I kind of like the old cards, of course that's what I started with, because last month, It had been 42 years that I have been a licensed amateur radio operator, because I was a mere child at that time. So, I enjoy the cards, but the online stuff, which is how I got my work to all states finally, it was very nice to have it all done online and not have to go somewhere and have somebody scrutinize all your contacts. Let me reset. Like you used to have to do, you'd take a pack of cards and somebody would look them all over and make sure you had all the states or all the whatever you were trying to get. So, but I have some very interesting cards, particularly some of the foreign cards. So, here's one from a French station, and I've got some from the Ukraine and stuff. They've got very nice pictures on them. They're really pretty fabulous. So I don't mind either way. And, you do have to change with the times, unfortunately, as much as I fight that with every fiber of my being. Let's see. One more thing. Something you mentioned, Tim, about the East-West K and W thing. That's true of broadcast stations. Was not always true, because there are still a couple of broadcast stations on the east side of the Mississippi that start with a K, and I think one of them's KDA in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, somewhere right around there. So, was not true for the hands. K's and W's were distributed, I won't say evenly, but as needed. K1DCT, back to net.
Oh, thank you, Dave. That's a lot of good information. I hadn't realized that the K&W was only for commercial, really, and didn't really apply to the amateur radio world. And once you mentioned it, I realized you were right, that in QRZ, if you go into one of the tabs, usually you can see a birthday. And that's interesting unto itself. And, yep, okay. And as far as the cards go, what was I thinking? I was thinking of something else they built with the cards. I was taking care of some old cards that came in for the that came in through the ARRLW1QLS, where they do forwarding of cards, so you don't have to spend that money on each card sending it overseas or whatever. You just pay a smaller flat rate, and they handle all of that. And early last year, it was my fault I took this long, but early last year, which was 2019. We actually received an envelope from the W1QLS with some cards from 2015. So sometimes cards can be delayed coming and going. But that's the way it is. Okay. I'm going to do another quick call out at this point. If anybody else would like to join the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, please call now. Before we move on to Bob and Chuck, I do want to make a mention that one of the students who got his tech license in Tom's class, Kevin, KC1MVX, is going great gangbusters, getting some radios, and he bought himself an IC7300. He's, I believe, ordered either a G5RV or something similar to that, and a Go Kit with HF. And he's got himself his radio set up in his garage, and he's got some grounding installed, and he's got the cabling going out to the antenna. And on a previous net, a different net from the TIPS net, he was asking if any of the local experienced amateur radio operators, someone might be available to swing by and just take a gander at how he has it set up to make sure he's not making any classical errors or, that he's got everything pretty much the way it should be. As he said, nothing's inside the house. Everything's out either in the garage, you can have the garage door open, Then the wiring goes outside and around to the antenna, and he and everybody else would stay respectfully 6 feet of, you know, distance and all that. So if anybody has any thoughts on that, they can contact him. He lives up in the Navy housing area, and just wanted to pass that along. Let me reset. Okay, with that, we're going to move on down to Bob, see what he thinks about QSL cards, what have you. And I'm also curious about the Raspberry Pi images. Are these just making clones of the same image, or you have different purposes for each of the Raspberry Pi images you're burning? K1RMN, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. Well, first on the QSL cards, I have my dad's cards, some of them dating back into the late 30s and a lot in the 40s. You had mentioned something about sizes and shapes. They were postcards. Yeah, the original ones were mailed, just a postcard. So you filled it out, you put probably a penny stamp on it, and you mailed it, which is why they've traditionally had that shape and size to this day, really, as well as fitting into envelopes when people started putting them in an envelope with little notes and things. I've got several envelopes and little short letters from hams around the world that came with the QSL card, but primarily it was a postcard that you could send to someone to let them know that they had a contact. I have a bunch of my dad's old ones, but most of them say WRPQ, United States Coast Guard Band, which is what he was in for so many years. And one of these days, I'm hoping the FCC is going to grant my request to obtain his license. I've sent him all the required stuff. Let me reset the repeater. So I'm just in a waiting game on that change. Raspberry Pi images. I'm building some computers, Raspberry Pi 4s, that I'm putting an article together that I'll probably share on our website when I finish it up. But I'm also formatting it so I can send it off to a QST and maybe CQ magazine. But it's building a Raspberry Pi computer that you can use in the field off of 12 volts and basically run a ham shack setup out in the field. So you can run WSJTX, JSA call, all types of GPS and APRS, and just have a small monitor, a laptop or what have you, even your phone you can run this off of and be able to set that up in the field. And it's been a lot of fun, and now I'm just building some backups, and I have a test system that I'm just making different size. Let me reset again. Different size micro SD cards from 16 to gig to 32 gig to 64 gig, so that I have different sizes depending on the amount of software or programs that I want to run on them. So now it's just kind of building up the library. But a lot of fun, a lot of learning curve with the Raspi and the Linux software, but gotten through most of that. And again, a lot of fun. I hope to be able to show it to you guys one of these days, if we ever get to give you that presentation on FT8. This is K1RMN. Back to net.
Well, thank you, Bob. Yeah, definitely look forward to seeing both presentation on FT8, and I'm curious to see what you end up with an article on the Raspberry Pi and being able to use it in a QRP instance or out in field day. It's a lot easier than lugging along an old XT computer, that's for sure. Okay, we're going to move on down to Chuck and see what he thinks about QSL cards and maybe even Raspberry Pis and what else he might have in store. W1FJW, this is KC1TWR on the TIPSnet.
Well, for QSL cards, I am
somewhat partial to the online cards. They arrive quicker, and you can always print them if you'd like a printed one, which, you know, I have several, but I've printed a few of the online ones, depending upon, you know, what they had and what tickled my fancy. There was one with Mad Ludwig's castle that I kind of like and have it on the wall here, but the bulk of them stay on the computer. That way they don't take up a lot of room. Raspberry Pi computer sounds interesting. That could be worthwhile. And while we're on the subject of computers, I've modified a TV set to be a monitor, and it's finally doing what I would like it to do, control-wise. So I count that as a small victory. Back to net, W1FJW.
Well, thank you, Chuck. And yes, indeed, any victory is a good victory. And having a TV being able to be used as a monitor is always good. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list, and I'll do another call. Anybody else that would like to join the tips net, please call down.
Here is WH1YV. I think it's my first check-in.
This is N1QKW.
Okay, that recognizes Tom, WA2RYV, and either Robert or Bob, I keep forgetting, N1QKW. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, Tom and I think it's Bob, we're going to give you instant service. The tips net, we were talking, at this point we're talking about QSL cards, and do you still use them? Would you still like to get them if people would send them? And any interesting stories you might have about them? And Bob was relating on how he is working with building Raspberry Pi images for use out in the field. For both QRP and to be able to do all the computing type work for digital and other things out in the field. And Chuck had just mentioned the fact that he completed a project and he's very happy with converting a TV to a monitor. So, having that under your belt, you have any questions or comments or interesting things you'd like to bring to the net or any comments about what I've said? WA2RYV, this is KC1TWR.
WH1YV. I don't have any projects quite that exciting. I repaired the broken seat on my milking stool yesterday. I think I'm gonna build a dispenser for rolled paper towels tonight. Well, I picked up one of those big $5 rolls of paper towel at Surplus Limited or something like that. I'm getting tired of it just having it kind of laying around, spooling itself off by itself. And we're going to do something a bit more sophisticated. Not a whole lot else. We're just taking care of little projects today. I guess my big discovery is the fact that Goo Gone is going to work on the overhead of my sailboat. The inside of the cabin had material, had cloth of some sort glued to the ceiling, and over the years it decided it wanted to come down. and that left me with a lot of exposed contact cement that I had to figure out how to get off. And it looks like Gugon will do it if I kind of work away at it. Those are my big discoveries for the day. WA2RYV.
Well, thanks, Tom. That certainly, I'm glad you were able to find a something to remove the contact cement. And also, I'm presuming that you're going to put some kind of a tensioner or something on the roll dispenser. Otherwise, one good yank and you can end up with a whole pile at your feet. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to, I think it's Bob. Please correct me if I'm wrong. You heard my little spiel about what we've been talking about. Any comments? N1QKW, this is KC1TWR on the tips net.
KC1TWR, and the name is Rob. You had it correct. I heard some familiar voices in there, Kevin and Dave. Hello. So I figured I'd jump on frequency and see if the radio's still working here. I just kind of fired it up a couple of weeks ago. And let's see, QSL cards. Haven't received a QSL card in a kabillion years. They're kind of interesting to get. Don't know if I really want to get a whole ton of them. I'm trying to cut back on all the snail mail because the hours I work, I can never make it to the post office when they're open. And it seems like they're never open when I'm available. How rude. I would have liked to gotten the QSL card from the International Space Station, but I never actually sent for it, which is something I should have done many, many years ago. So that would have been a nice one. Let's see, Raspberry Pi. I played with Raspberry Pi a few years ago. I wanted to do a sidereal camera mount. So I used a Raspberry Pi tied in with a stepper motor hat and geared it up so I could get one rotation in 1436.8 minutes, I believe is what the numbers are, but I could be wrong. So they're very nice little computers, and I think the fourth generation that they have out now is super powerful, so you can do quite a bit with it. And I think that's about all I got. Like I said, name's Rob, Roma Oscar Bravo, and it's November 1, Quebec Kilo Whiskey, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Rob, and I should have remembered you from about two or three years ago when I used to work in Hartford, and we chatted on the way up there along with the first Tim. I was always the other Tim. So, good hearing from you again. That's good. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. I already did a call out, so we're going to go back up to the top and see what Kevin might be thinking about all these comments about the QSL cards plus Raspberry Pi, TV monitors, paper towel dispensers. Any thoughts on any of those or any questions that might have popped into your mind? K6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Well, the problem is always when things pop into my mind, they pop out just about as quickly. Good to hear, Rob. How you doing, buddy? That is definitely a nice voice to hear on this net. Rob and I go back more years than he probably cares to admit. good people. I hate to say that while he's listening, but sometimes you don't have a choice. Back for a second to the call sign. Composure thing, I'm understanding that the first amateur radio call signs began with numbers way back when. QSLing, some of the newer folks to radio / shortwave listening / ham radio may not be aware that you can QSL many radio stations. It was very common, and I think is still somewhat common, shortwave listening not being what it used to be, that you could send a QSL, a confirmation of copying the station, a little about what the program content was, just a few words, a signal report. You can send those actually to radio stations. Now, in that thought, I was referring to shortwave, radio stations, but what a lot of hams may not know, unless you cut your teeth on AM DXing and shortwave listening and stuff, is you can also do the same thing with regular commercial AM and FM stations. How many of them are still doing it, I can't attest, but it used to be very common. I spoke to someone who worked for, I think Hall Communications had just bought the stations they have here locally, and WNLC AM was on the air, and I think it was, I want to say it was 1510 kilohertz or something like that, way up at the top of the dial. And I remember I used to listen to them when I lived down in Western Connecticut on a transistor radio. If I put it next to a telephone pole, I could hear WNLC AM. And they were really proud of the fact they got a QSL card from, I'm pretty sure it was Argentina. So their signal, which was not a big powered signal, was making it all the way down to Argentina. So, and I know when I worked for a FM station out in California, we were new on the air, and we got a QSL card from a listener. And my operations manager didn't know what the heck to do with it. Like, what is this? So I had to brief them, and I think we didn't have any, quote, cards to send back, but we did send them a letter thanking them and yada yada, so that they had something for their walls slash records. QSL card shapes, I'm not going to stake my reputation on this because my memory might be skewed, fancy that, but I believe that George Main, W1GIV, has a QSL card shaped like the state of Connecticut. But I like that comment you made, Tim. I was also wondering, what if instead of sending QSL cards, we sent little gifts like food, you know? Instead of a card, you'd get a box of cookies or some instant mashed potatoes or something. And finally, last and probably also least, Tom was mentioning his paper towel dispenser, which I would think could also be converted into a QSL card dispenser. Or maybe that's just me, KA6PDG back to net.
Well, that's a good thought there, Kevin. We'll have to see what Tom thinks about a QSL card dispenser. And as far as QSLing and sending gifts instead of cards, I don't think the contesters would be able to afford that. But maybe if somebody made a contact, either, you know, something unusual, something that sparked their interest, maybe something like that would be a good thing to do. One of the cards that I was mentioning earlier that I got through the WNQSL from the ARRL came from Canada, and it was from somebody who also sent along two pictures of their dog, which had sadly passed away a couple of years ago. But he just loved that dog so much, he had to write a paragraph in the back of him and he'd talk about it and so forth. And so it was made for a good read. And fortunately, when I wrote back, I was able to say that the first dog I ever had was the same breed, a golden retriever. My little story about it. So sometimes QSL cards are more than just the card. So that's good. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move down to Dave. And let's see, with everything that's been said, I'm not going to try and even synopsize it. I'm going to let him come back and let me know what he thinks. K1DCT, KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
All right, Tim, well, this is K1DCT. Good to hear everybody. And Rob kind of surprised me at QKW. I haven't heard him on the air in a long time. But glad to hear you got your stuff still works. Let's see. I will try and get a hold of Kevin Perry. I've already forgotten what his call sign was, but I could pop down there. Not that I would consider myself any sort of expert, unless you're considering X as in has been, and Spurt is under a drip under pressure, but I could give him my opinion again for whatever that is worth. As Kevin mentioned, WNLCAM, I remember that. I remember where the site was. In fact, I have a coffee cup that has WNLCAM on it, stashed away. So not sure where I ever got it, but probably should give it to somebody at Hall Communications because it really doesn't mean a lot to me. But a quick story about WNLCAM. It was in Waterford, not too far from where Lowe's and Wally World is, just on the other side of the power line, so closer to, a little more to the west. And they were a directional station, at least at night, and to help them with their pattern, there were actually some, a little resonant device, a coil and a capacitor installed on the transmission line towers that were in line with their transmission, AM transmission towers, to actually help them correct their pattern to get where it should be. So I had the pleasure of working with some of those guys on that little project one time when some of them weren't working as advertised. So fun stuff. I think that's about it. I won't drone on about anything else here, I don't think. Just, having a good time. Social distancing is a ham's pleasure. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, that's good, Dave. I like memorabilia as well. I've got a few cars. As a matter of fact, my wife makes me weed them out every so often because I just collect too many of them. Not that I grab every one I see, but each one I find has a particular story to tell. And just a quick note to all, Steve and K1V just sent me an email that he did some VHF antenna switching around, and while he can reach the Norwich repeater just fine, he's really having troubles hearing this repeater. So I guess he's got some work to do or what have you. He asked if there was a problem with this repeater. I replied saying, oh, I hear a little bit of noise, but it's, you know, still working fairly well. So I'm presuming it's something on his end. Okay, we're going to go ahead and go down to, before I forget, Dave, let me get that up again. Yeah, his call sign, Kevin's call sign is Kilo Charlie 1, Michael Victor X-Ray, MVX. I can forward you his email address or what have you, because it's not QRZ, but I can get that to you. And with that, we'll go ahead and go down to Bob and see what he thinks with all these comments. And you are working with Raspberry Pi 4s, if I remember you saying, which must have a bit more oomph than the Raspberry Pi 3s. Do you like them that much better? K1RMN, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. First, W1NLC, if you drive down Crossroads, it would be behind where that new surgery center is, down that little side road there. Used to go there when I was a kid with my dad. He knew the station engineer and spent a lot of time down there looking at very big tubes and watching how they did that stuff. That was quite a long time ago. I like the Raspberry 4. It runs a lot hotter, so they've got a lot of different fans and things that you get now to keep them cooler. But I mean, it's a dual monitor or computer system, and the resolution is really, really good, and you can do a lot with them. And an awful lot of companies have created
Raspbian images of their software. So something that you would run on a Windows platform like FL Digi, FL Rig, WSJTX, those companies have come out with a version that will run on the Raspberry Pi, which is why I'm making these setups. So it's pretty interesting stuff. But that's about all I have for tonight. This is K1RMN. Back to net control.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Bob. Yep, I've got a Raspberry Pi 3 that I bought quite a few years ago, so maybe it's time for me to look at upgrading. And let's move on to Chuck, W1FJW. Any further comments about anything we've heard or anything else you'd like to bring to the table? This is KC1TWR and the TipsNet.
Well, as far as the commercial stations go, yeah, there's a K this side of the Mississippi, the KDKA out of Pittsburgh, where the studio is and the address of record. At one point in their career, the station was down in Turtle Creek in a Westinghouse building using something like an Alexanderson alternator, but that was a long time ago. The other one that's a little bit wrong is WAKO in Waco, Texas, but they were assigned pretty much before the designation each side of the Mississippi became popular. Yeah, I remember they had the station, the AM station in Waterford, but before that they were 1490 and they were about 250 watts, and I believe they were down on a pier, down by the State Pier in New London, just about on the river, using the brackish water for a counterpoise. At least that's what I remember. Back to net, W1FJW.
Thank you, Chuck. And boy, times have changed. A lot of things have changed. I'm glad for Waco's sake that they allowed them to grandfather in and keep that call sign, because it definitely suits their location and their town. And that must have been something, having the radio station down there using the brackish water down there as a counterpoise. And, Bob, that must have been really a neat thing, watching those tubes glow in the dark and what have, or hopefully you had the lights on when you were in there with your father. Okay, let's move on to Tom, WA2RYV. We've made some comments at your expense about the toilet paper dispenser, but maybe you have a retaliation for that or some other comment. WA2RYV, KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
WA2RYV, I'm not sure about retaliation, but certainly all the comments that are made are driving into a much more sophisticated device. Maybe with a stepper motor or something like that. The Kevin's comment about the WNLC up in Norwich of getting all the way to South America, that's certainly doable, but you need to put that in the context of that signal got to South America at night. Certainly wouldn't do it in the daytime when the D layer is hot. But after the sun goes down, and the other thing that happens in those AM stations is sundown. Most of the local yokel AM stations were required by their licenses to cut way back on their power, and I know WNLC did it, and so did Norwich. To make way for the Clear Channel stations, and Norwich shared a frequency with the state with a Clear Channel station at Buffalo, New York. sundown, they cut their power back to just what was required to cover the immediate area around Norwich. I think I understand it might have been 50 watts or so. So that's the sort of DX they can work on 1300 kilohertz with 50 watts at night. QSLs, yeah, I got one. I got several. My first ones were printed for you by a buddy at high school, the high school print shop, as one of his class projects. And the ones I have now that I've had for the last 10 years or so were done for me by my daughter. It was a graphic designer, so she did those for me one time. Unfortunately, I've got a lot of them. I've given thought to changing my call sign, but I can't imagine I can get away with doing that before I get rid of those cards. All right, not much else here. WA tour, Wifey.
Yep, very good, Tom. And yeah, I can imagine you've got a good batch of cards there. I'm sure they were printed up back when a lot of cards were being exchanged. Whereas nowadays, if I have to send something out or feel like sending one out, I print it out on my printer, using cardstock, just do, one, two, three, or four of them. But, yeah, that's not bad. And some time is getting to us, so we're going to go ahead and move on to Rob. See, after all this discussion and back and forth, if he's got some additional comments. N1QKW, this is KC1TWR on the tips net.
You know, Tim, I've been racking my brain and trying to come up with a comment, even a wise type of comment, but I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. Zilch, zero, just nothing. So I'm going to pass it back to Net Control and let you do what you got to do. This is N1QKW.
Okay, Rob, well, that's a decent comment. I'll buy that. That works. Okay, we're at the end of the list, and I think we're at the end of the first section because time is starting to get a hold of us. Before we move into the second section, a quick call out. Anybody else care to join the net? Please call now. Okay, we'll start the second section of the Tips Net, and this involves, does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now.
Here is KA6PDG.
Okay, Kevin, KA6PDG, please proceed.
Just a reminder that everybody's welcome Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock for a virtual breakfast, the Breakfast Roundtable. Pull up your chair and have a good time on the Norwich Repeater Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. At least while we can't have our regular breakfast at the Uncasville Diner, we're gathering on the Norwich 14673 machine at 8 o'clock Saturday mornings and just having some good conversation and yucking it up and whatever comes up, comes up. Hopefully not breakfast. And I believe, Tim, I think it's your turn to buy this week. Okay, 6PDG, back to net.
Okay, Kevin, it's my penalty for sleeping through the last two Saturdays and missing the breakfast net. I don't usually sleep till past 9 o'clock, but those two Saturdays caught me, so this Saturday I promised to set an alarm. How's that? Okay, any further announcements or items of interest, please call now. Okay, on to the third section. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items? If you are, please call now. Okay, just as an FYI, I had posted the fact that I had a DMR radio for sale a couple of weeks ago, and it sold. So this does work occasionally, which is good. Okay, this is the last call for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. Any further comments, discussion, or check-ins, please call now.
This is KC1, KLZ, Kilo Charles 1, Kilo Lima Zulu, just stopping in to say hello.
Okay, Net recognizes KC1, KLZ, John. Glad you could stop in. Any comments for us before we close the net?
Not a heck of a lot, other than stay virus free.
Okay, words to live by in these days right now. I agree. Stay virus free. Wash your hands. Don't go rubbing shoulders with too many people unless they're within your own household, etc. So that's always good advice. Okay, I'll do a quick last call again. Any further questions, comments, or check-ins, please call now.
Good evening.
The time is 8 p.m. on Wednesday, April 8th.
With that was the last call, and we have no further check-ins. I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank everyone that participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks all who stood by and listened as we conducted the net. Hopefully you got something out of it, some amusement, some knowledge, who knows. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net, and the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month. Due to the ongoing COVID-19 event, their meeting will be on air on the Salem Repeater next Tuesday at 7 p.m. And the meetings are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Well, yes. If you're not licensed, you can listen. Just can't talk. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. That's TRICITYARC.com. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I will now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, wishing everyone a good evening and 73.